This podcast episode is powered by AfriPods, the world's number one podcasting platform for African stories.
Hello, welcome to another episode of the Kenyan Wall Street Podcast. This is the startup show hosted by Ali Mwakaneno. So today we want to talk to Jihan Abbas, who is the founder and CEO of Lami, a startup that offers insurance as a service. They recently raised $1.8 million, and we want to understand the story behind the company. Welcome, Jihan.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you so much, Ali. It's a pleasure to be here.
So tell us a little bit about your company and what's the story behind Lami?
Yeah, I feel like I've told the story about a billion times, but you know, for me, my background was initially in finance, and then I became sort of obsessed with the insurance industry after I came home on holiday and I was speaking to a waiter who told me he didn't have health insurance. So I started to do research around the industry to understand, you know, why so few people had access to insurance products, not only actually health, but all kinds of insurance products. I found out that only 3% of people in Africa purchased any kind of insurance products. You know, it's a staggeringly low level. And when you look at a market like Kenya, for example, there's more than 50 insurance companies that operate, but the penetration level is still about the same, you know, less than 3%. So I was trying to understand what was the reason behind that. Why are there so many insurance companies and why insurance penetration level is still so low? And that's sort of how we came about creating Lami, which is an infrastructure platform. You know, it seemed that the problem was twofold. The first being that the products were not being distributed in the right way. And secondly, there was no technological infrastructure to facilitate the easy distribution of insurance products. So Lami bridges those gaps. Lami is an insurance as a service platform and API. We've digitized the whole value chain of insurance. So the KYC process, pricing of insurance products, underwriting of products, claim processing, and so on. All in an API that anyone can use to either launch products, embed insurance products, and really you're able to sell any kind of insurance product at any point of sale.
I understand the problem here, especially the sort of distribution of products. What are some of the sort of milestones that Lami has achieved so far, you know, with regards to what you're trying to solve?
Yeah, we launched our first product in January 2020. So that's when we entered the market with a car insurance product. Since then, we've sold more than 5,000 policies through our platform. We've created new and interesting products that we've sort of brought forward to the market. And I think for us, it was really a learning experience, you know, from our first product until where we are right now. We've been able to assess and see, you know, how we can price our products better, what kind of structures work, and also like what kind of distribution channels we can use to ensure that, you know, uptake of insurance products are much higher than they were previously.
Right. When you talk about motor insurance, I believe you're talking about Griffin in this case.
Yeah, that's our flagship product that we launched at the start of last year. I think we decided to start with car insurance because, you know, vehicle insurance is mandatory in most of Africa. And it seemed like a product that most people could resonate with. You know, people understood car insurance. People have been buying car insurance for decades. So we wanted to showcase what our API could do. And we did that by creating a first that experience, the Griffin experience, which streamlined the process of selling car insurance to less than 2 minutes, a process that I think it really included a lot of people in the value chain. So you'd have to call your agent, your broker, you'd get a price via email, and so on. There was a lot of back and forth, which we completely eliminated. And, you know, we wanted to create an experience that hadn't been done before in this market. So through that product, actually, you can buy your policy in less than 2 minutes. You can receive your certificate. And we also have new services like, you know, emergency services embedded in there. You can pause your insurance policy and so on. So we wanted to really transform the customer journey.
Right. Griffin is really a product that really, really interests me because I've talked to a couple of players in the digital motor insurance space. But before we really, really dive into that, let's talk about COVID-19 because you guys launched your product 2 months before COVID. How did that impact the uptake of insurance, especially how did it impact the digitization of insurance products?
Yeah, I think obviously before COVID, at the time where the pandemic broke out, you know, I think everybody was really afraid because you didn't really understand what was going to happen, you know, whether this was going to affect your industry positively or negatively. But I think one of the key positives that came out of it was that insurance companies really transformed their way of thinking. So they were now starting to think outside the box. They were starting to look at different distribution channels so that they were able to sustain sales. Because at that point in time, you know, their traditional boots on the ground agent methodology wasn't really working because, you know, people are not going outside. There was no chance to sell face to face anymore, right? So I think for us, we saw quite a lot of positive reactions from insurance companies that wanted to launch digital products through some of our partners and also work with us to launch new kinds of products. So actually throughout that period, we were able to onboard a very large number of insurance companies. And now we have about 25 insurance companies on our platform offering various kinds of products for various channels.
Now back to Griffin. You know, just following up on your story on the founding of the company, in as much as motor insurance is compulsory, I feel like I don't know, from where I sit, health insurance feels like a more pressing need, especially in Kenya. Why did you decide to, that your flagship product should be Griffin as opposed to a health solution or any other solution?
I think that's a great question. I think what inspired me to sort of even get started was initially health related, you know, understanding why people didn't have access to health insurance. But I think the key thing is that, you know, the fact that motor insurance is actually required by law was really an interesting way to sort of explore what was possible in terms of technology. I think health insurance is incredibly complex, especially around, you know, claims and fraud. I think on the side of fraud, it's a huge problem in this market. So we didn't want to dive into medical insurance without having the sort of experience with digital products as a sort of foundation. So I definitely agree. We now do health insurance products. So we work with SMEs for SME packages for medical insurance through our dashboards and so on. So I think it was just a matter of time before we were able to sort of enter that health insurance arena.
Back to Griffin again. Tell me how it works. And I'm specifically interested in how fast you guys are able to process claims vis-a-vis the industry standard.
Yeah, I think so for us, when we were doing our, we were trying to understand, you know, what was the reason that, you know, claims processing took so long. The key issue that we found was that, for example, the KYC documents are not really collected at the start. So when you are being onboarded onto car insurance products, they're not really collecting and verifying all the data that they need to be able to issue you with car insurance products, for example. So and that was one of the main things we were able to change. We are integrated to various databases for KYC. We also verify logbooks through NTSA databases to make sure that, you know, we're able to make sure that the process of claims is much smoother for the customer. And secondly, you can also file your claims through our platform and also track your claims. So that was another added benefit that we brought forward, was that you can actually directly file your claims. And because we're integrated with the various insurance companies, that information is relayed to them in good time so that as to avoid having delays. We really do try to pay our claims, you know, in a very short amount of time. On average, we try to do it under 7 days from when the claim has been acknowledged from the insurance company. And, you know, we've seen that insurance companies are now able to adhere to those standards that we're trying to create for the customers, you know. So I think it's been quite positive. Another thing that we've added is we have emergency services embedded into the to the Griffin product provided by Flare Rescue. And that actually helps us mitigate a lot of instances of fraud, because in case an accident does happen, they come to the scene, they, you know, they're able to minimize and actually take everybody there to the hospital if needed to minimize third party claims. And also it makes the whole process of filing the claims much, much more seamless, because they also collect data at the scene of the accident.
Could you break it down to me from a customer point of view? Like, how would what would be the customer journey of using Griffin as opposed to just using a normal motor insurance policy? I get the benefits from an outside point of view, but like, what would be the experience from a customer?
Yeah, I think the key things are, firstly, we wanted to eliminate very complex insurance jargons that are normally used within the policy. So even, for example, when you're getting a quotation, first of all, you can get a quotation in a few seconds by answering 2 to 3 questions on our platform. And from there, you can get a quote and you can go ahead to buy the product. So one of the key things we were able to do is we try to make it as simple as possible for the customer so that they can really understand what it is that they're covered for, what it is that they're not covered for. So that was one of the key things, because I think there's a lot of miscommunication in that fine print that insurance companies offer. You know, they give you like a 30-page, sometimes even longer policy document that you might not even understand. You know, you don't even know where to start. So right. We try to simplify that as a starting point. And then secondly, you're able to also customize your policy. You don't really have to have the standard set product that is available in the market. We have shorter term policies as well. So you can actually, you can select the duration that you want for your policy. If you want 1 month, if you want 3 months, you're able to customize that and also customize the benefits to fit you. Because I think the issue had been that, you know, products are very much one size fits all. We wanted to elevate the customer experience so that, you know, the customer feels that they own the policy, not the other way around.
What are some of the challenges that perhaps maybe you've encountered since you debuted Griffin last year, and how have you been able to work around those?
I think one of the key challenges was actually when the pandemic broke out, you know, we were seeing less longer term or even comprehensive policies being purchased. A lot of people were a bit afraid because they were saying, you know, I'm not going to be able to drive my car because of the lockdowns and the curfews and all this. So that was one of the things that we saw. So, you know, trying to overcome that hurdle in terms of sales was quite interesting. But I think things have normalized since then, which has been quite positive. Also, in terms of our product, our initial product was a mobile app. But now most of our sales come from web channels. And that was a key finding. You know, we were able to see that, you know, at the end of the day, as great as an app can be, you know, customers wanted a way to quickly purchase insurance and not have to, you know, also download an app onto their phone and keep that there, you know. So I think that was one of the key findings for us is, you know, how can we add this level of flexibility for the customer? So now we have 2 channels for that product.
Let's talk about money. Lamy Technologies recently raised 1.8 million in a seed round led by ASEON. What are some of the things that we should expect from the recent fundraising?
Yeah, actually our core business, I know we've spoken quite a bit about Griffin, but our core business is B2B sales. So we mm-hmm. work with banks and digital platforms that might want to, for example, on the bank side, launch digital bank assurance. And also on the digital platform side, you know, maybe they sell goods and services that insurance is complementary to, or they're looking for ways to monetize their customer base further, or even as a retention tool, you know, using insurance or, you know, embedded insurance as a retention tool. So those are our main sort of customer segments. So I think the funds that we're raising now are mostly going towards, you know, improving the features of the Lamy platform and API, you know, making sure that, you know, we're able to cater to a large, you know, variety of customers with a large variety of products. And then secondly, also on hiring, you know, expanding our team, both on the engineering side and on the business side, to be able to, you know, meet the demand that we're having so far for our product. And also, I think we're also looking at a bit of expansion work, which will probably come sometime next year.
Still on funding, I was watching some of your interviews, of course, in preparation for this call. And something that stood out really is a statement that you said. You say that raising funding as a woman and as a Black woman, it's slightly harder than it would be if you were, say, male or from another demographic. Why do you think it's hard to raise funding as a woman in Africa? And what are some of the changes that you'd like to see in that area?
Yeah, I think this is always a big question. You know, I can't say I understand the reason why. I think a lot of investors are always saying that they're looking to fund more female businesses. They're looking to fund, you know, more locally founded businesses. But I think one of the key things is that there's not as many female-led startups. I think that's one of the key reasons. And, you know, at the end of the day, it is a numbers game. You know, if there's not that many at the start, you know, it's just that fewer that are going to end up getting funds. So I think that's one of the things that we need to change, encourage more women to start businesses from a young age. And I think that's going to be the key driver to seeing a lot more female-led businesses raising funding, you know.
Last question. Ask this because on the Kenyan Wall Street, we also host, we have an investor segment where we've held a few conversations, mostly with VC guys on what they look for before they invest in a startup. Just to reverse sort of the question, like beyond funding, what is the one thing you would look for from an investor?
Yeah, I think that's a great question. I think firstly, an investor that's aligned with our vision and mission and what it is that we're trying to accomplish. You know, I think there's a lot of VCs that might not maybe understand what it is that you're trying to accomplish. And I think those are not the right people for you. I think you need to find somebody or, you know, investors that really believe in you and believe in what it is that you're trying to solve. And they actually believe that this is a problem worth solving. I think that's one of the key things. And then secondly, it's also, I think we often forget that we also have to choose the investors that we want to onboard, right. People who are going to be able to add value to you, maybe to markets that you want to enter into, or even in segments that you want to expand to, and even within the industry that you're in. So maybe an investor that has experience investing in, for example, in InsurTech or FinTech. I think there's a lot of valuable insight that they can provide, which I think will really be helpful. So I think we should always try to remember that we also have to make that choice.
That's actually all I had for today. To our listeners, that was Jihan Abbas, the founder and CEO of Lami. Looking forward to hosting you more on the Kenyan Wall Street podcast.
Thank you very much. Yeah, it's been a pleasure.